That meeting is being recorded, and that will be part of the minutes. So, let's call this meeting to order, 10:02 a.m. And the minutes of the June 25th, 2020 Finance Committee meeting. I just want to acknowledge acceptance of the audio recording of the June 25th, 2020 Finance Committee meeting as the official meeting minutes. Do we need a motion to accept those minutes, Mr. LaMountain?
We do.
Okay, and I had my speakers down low. Could you just remind me who else is on? I heard you say that Mr. Lupke was not present. Mr. Wallace is here.
Mr. Wallace is present. In terms of staff, myself, Keith Blanchard, and Rachel Kearse are also on.
Keith and Rachel, hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. Well, it's nice to see all of you.
I'm doing right. Well, Doctor. Thank you.
Scott, can you please move to accept the minutes from June 25th?
Scott, we can't hear you. Scott, Mr. Wallace, I'm looking for your name. I know you came in.
It appears he's back in.
This is Scott. Can you hear me? Sorry.
And now, great.
Okay, sorry. I must have pushed the wrong darn button. So I make a motion that we accept the, if I missed anything, accept the recorded minutes of the last meeting.
And I will second that motion. This is Paul Mittman. And then Rachel, can you call the roll?
For the vote or for everyone?
No, I think just for the vote.
Okay. Dr. Paul Mittman, your vote, please.
Aye.
And Mr. Scott Wallace?
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it. The minutes are accepted. Okay, so our first six schools are going to be discussion and action on the financial status and license renewals. And let's see, first up is Arizona Home Inspectors Institute. Would anyone from the Arizona Home Inspectors please introduce yourselves?
This is Nicole from American Home Inspectors Training Institute. I believe we're first on the list. We have Paul Dean representing our school on the line as well.
Great. Well, thank you. Would either of you care to make an opening statement?
Paul, would you like to at this time?
Yeah, sorry. I was just trying to can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great. So yeah, I'm the CFO for Lifelong Learner. Been with the company over a year and a half now, and happy to kind of take questions in terms of the financial ability and sustainability of the company. I think that was at least what I was communicated to, part of the questions you had. We're obviously very excited to continue the relationship, want to be part of this sort of long-term future, and obviously the company itself is a very stable company, private equity backed. Happy to kind of talk through any financial questions. We've gone through the challenges that I'm sure most companies have with COVID, but successfully and very positively, we're starting to see ourselves come out of that and starting to see a much stronger 2021 than we had anticipated back in April. So overall, from a financial perspective, very excited to kind of walk you through that and answer any questions at the same point, hoping that this is a straightforward conversation on continuing and renewing our license.
Okay, great. Mr. Wallace, do you want to start or would you like me to? I guess if it's okay, I'll just kind of, I only have a couple of questions, so I'll start us off. You know, you've had fairly large losses over the last couple of years. I know that you've had significant infusions of capital, and it looks like you started this current fiscal year with a net profit of $8.2 million. And was just wondering what you're on track, where do you see yourselves on track for?
Sure, and I also have, just want to confirm, Rasmus Randikoff, are you also on?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning, morning, everybody. I work with Paul. I'm the global controller at Lifelong Learner.
Yep, so Rasmus is controlling, kind of jumping in any more specific questions. But yeah, so we had a tough start. Well, I should say the first January, February was a good start. And then April to about May was challenging. We had some difficulties with COVID, and we have test centers in one part of our business that we had to close down, you know, during the COVID period. Fortunately, they have all opened up. So we're actually operating in the US at 100% open door level for those test centers. At the same point, our international business is about 70%. We operate in 21 countries across the world. So that business that we have on the what we call the credentialing side of our business has actually done pretty well, bounced back, very V-shaped recovery. So we have just finished August as our best month of the year, which is, you know, well back above pre-COVID levels. The talent management business is a business that really fluctuates and kind of works with the economy. So we're seeing more of a U-shaped recovery there. But despite that, we're at about 70 to 80% recovery level going in through the month of July and August. And then the career services, which is obviously the AHEAD business, has actually done a lot better throughout the year. We're well ahead of budget. So we're expecting to see, again, for us, because we're private equity backed, we very much focus on what we call our EBITDA numbers. And we're expecting to sort of be in that 30 to 32 million range EBITDA forecasted for the full year, which is down from our 70 number that we had budgeted. So you can see we clearly took a pretty substantial hit for the year. But we're also in process of doing our budget and forecast coming into 2021. And we're seeing ourselves kind of in a range of 70 to 80. But really, the impact for the business was a 6 to 7 month hit where we expect us to kind of rebound and be in a pretty strong position for 21. And the trends now, two of our businesses are ahead of budget, and our third business is within 70 to 80%. And we expect it to be kind of close to 90% exiting 2020. So again, that business should be back pre-COVID levels sometime between Q1 and Q2 of next year, which is why we see our numbers going back to where we expected it to be and somewhat in line with the growth that we saw coming out of 18 and 19.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. What is Learner Holdings? Do I have the right entity there? OCL Ambition?
Yeah, so maybe the parent company, which is the company that the private equity fund has invested in, is Lifelong Learner. And that's the parent company at the very top of the food chain. And then we have that entity split as we go down a couple of levels between what I referenced, our talent management business and our credentialing business, which is under the PSI umbrella. And that's one side of our business that split into two separate business units. And then on a separate, kind of in the next level down, separate to PSI is Ambition, which is our new company that really was owned historically by OCL. Since we acquired that, we've just gone through a rebranding exercise. And now the new branding name for that company is Ambition. So this entity falls underneath that.
Okay. So the June financial statement have a to us, you know, are labeled, you know, as you just described, but are there operation?
So you're cutting a little bit in and out. Yeah, Rasmus, did you understand what he said?
No, I also, it was also a little bit cutting out here.
The lifelong learning. Okay, I see that financial statement. I guess that's all the questions I have right now.
Okay. Well, then I will move to approve the regular vocational license with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond be maintained and that you submit the quarterly reporting. I believe that the quarterly reporting is required until you post 2 years with audited financials in the black. Before we vote, do you agree to the stipulations statement?
Can I just ask, what is the timeline for the quarterly reporting?
Mr. LaMountain, can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So the quarterly reporting, so what you reported in August, so you'll be doing that quarterly going forward for August, November, in order to get prepared for the December or the November Finance Committee. So you'll be sent a notice, but you'll be doing that quarterly. And as Dr. Mittman said, until you have 2 years of positive financial results. So that will be ongoing for that time frame.
Rasmus, I see no issue with that. Do you?
No, I think that's totally fine. No problem.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, can you second the motion, please?
Second that motion.
Okay. All right. All right, for the baby boomers in the group, we enjoyed that. Thank you. And then, Rachel, can you call the vote?
Yes. Mr. Scott Wallace, your vote?
Aye.
Dr. Paul Mittman?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, the ayes have it. Have a good rest of, I guess it's fall. Have a good beginning of the fall and be well.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Next up, Arizona School of Integrated Studies. And this is also discussion and license renewal. And could you please introduce yourself, and if you care to make an opening statement, go right ahead.
Yeah, my name is Shannon Yurkic, Chief Executive Officer. On the phone with me today as well is Damian Abreu, and he is our Corporate Controller, and Laura Todd, our Regional Director of Operations for ASIS. Also in Q2, was very strong in performance and production. Some housekeeping items that we were able to conclude was we did get the 7-year reaccreditation through COMSA for all 4 of our campus locations. We also completed successfully our VA audit at all locations at the ASIS for our qualification. For the parent company, Tremont Education Group, the LOC, the letter of credit that we had on with the Department of Education, was significantly reduced by $606,454 and is now at $278,992. The reason for the significant reduction was because of our former East Coast campuses, the FLSM, Finger Lakes School of Massage campuses, were successfully closed in accordance with both state and federal oversight as well as accreditation. The closeout audit was submitted to the Department of Education, which was accepted, and the determined liabilities, which was approximately $13,600, were paid, which triggered the reduction in the LOC for Tremont Education Group overall as a portfolio. Additionally, the previous litigation that we had with the former owners, a portion of that litigation with the former majority owner, John Robinson, has entered into settlement agreements. The case against David Merwin continues to stay pending the outcome of Mr. Merwin's personal Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and that information was sent this morning from counsel to you for your review to have in your possession. Additionally, Q2 for us showed an increase at ASIS in profitability due to a decrease in expenses, an increase in enrollment revenue. And lastly, currently in operating accounts for ASI, for Tremont Education, we have approximately over $250,000 in reserves that has really helped to continue with stable performance, production, marketing, and recruitment efforts across the entire portfolio.
Well, that's a lot of good news.
We think so ourselves.
Yep.
Well, good. Well, I had a few questions. First off, did, and maybe Missile and Mountain can answer, they needed to file as a foreign corporation doing business in AZ. Has this taken place?
Yeah, we did that.
Oh, sorry, Shannon, go ahead.
No problem. So we did that under the previous expectations and filed with the state of Arizona. And Laura, I believe we provided them the documentation indicating the acknowledgement and acceptance of that foreign entity. Is that correct?
Yeah, it should have been sent off February 1st. Our incorporation date is January 31st. So we'll be renewing January of next year.
Okay. Okay. I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Wallace. Do you have questions?
Do I read your June financial statements as suggest that you have a role in capital? Do I read that correctly?
I'm sorry, so you broke up. I didn't get that entire question. What was that again?
Do I read your financial of a small working.
Damien, I'm catching every third word. Are you catching the question?
Yeah, Scott, you're cutting in and out. I think I might be able to ask the same question because I had a few questions also. So on the June financials, Mr. Wallace was asking about the most current financials. It looks like you were posting a $284,000 increase in net revenues, correct?
We were profitable in Q2, that's correct.
And a significant amount of what was on your balance sheet had a significant portion that was in accounts receivables. Roughly $674,000 out of $1 million in your current assets, and I was just wondering how much of that do you feel is collectible?
I would say the majority of it, in the sense that it's I believe a lot of that. And Damien, correct me if I'm wrong in the statement. A lot of that is tuition that we're needing to earn on in regard to delivering the courses and just in regard to the progression through the programs.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then there were also a bunch of receivables. It looks like probably from the previous owners. CMSM for $35,000, FLSM $148,000, MMB $464,000, and then True Mantra $81,000. And those are listed as current assets. Do you expect to receive all of those in this fiscal year?
The majority under collection status, correct.
Okay. Well, that'll help your balance sheet. let's see. And how does the enrollment look? I imagine that for programs that are significantly hands-on, like massage, it's been, hard to do in a social distance manner. And I was just wondering, how does enrollment look for the second half of this year, and how do you foresee finishing the year?
Yeah, I will. Actually, let me compliment and give kudos to the administrative staff and educators. The fact is, with COMPTA Initially with the Department of Education, we transitioned portions of our program online that were allowed. With the acceptance of CompTIA as our accreditor, we swiftly moved to get the distance education application formally approved and accepted, which it has been by CompTIA. So we've been able to provide courses. We are operating the mortar on at the ground location and supplementing the necessary with COVID outbreaks that have occurred at campuses where we've had to do cleanings and consolidate. We communicated that to the state as appropriately, but it's actually had minimal impact on our ability to recruit and our ability to deliver the education for compliance, both at the federal level, also at the accreditation state level. So we have seen though minor dips in some of our expectations or forecasting in the second and third quarter. It hasn't been dramatic enough for us to shift our projections. And more importantly, with the building out of our online portfolios, with the acceptance and knowing that we can continue this into the following years, we are well positioned to weather a possible second outbreak, in the fall and the winter that they're projecting, and still remain strong, operational, providing our education to our demographic and students.
We've also implemented some pretty strict requirements on campus to kind of add to that, which include closing our public clinic at this time until further notice and having students work on each other. We're doing temperature checks. Students are required to wear masks when they can't social distance. And all students are required to wear masks both when giving and receiving body work. So we've got some pretty stringent guidelines into effect, and it's kept our students and staff healthy. So far, we're doing really well as far as weathering the COVID outbreak.
Great. Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure. I don't see Mr. Wallace. Scott, are you still on the call? Did you switch to a phone number?
One thing we could suggest from Mr. Wallace when he returns is that he can type simple questions in chat for you to read out at that point.
Okay. Can we proceed, Mr. LaMountain, with a motion, or do we need...
No, we need to have Mr. Wallace back on.
Oh, there he is, just in time. Hey, Scott, Rachel was saying that if your microphone continues to have problems, you could type in the... I guess there's a chat box if you want to type out questions. We'll let you... I asked a few questions. Looks like their enrollment continues to be strong. They posted a profit in the first half of the year of about $285,000. They are looking to receive the receivables and their current receivables that are due to them from previous owners. And and the same for their accounts receivables from students. So they're, in pretty good shape. And I just wanted to make sure if you have any other questions.
No, I've looked at their financial statements, and I would agree with your assessment.
Okay. Well, then I will propose to approve the vocational program license renewals by stipulated agreement. Number one, increase the surety bond to $200,588, which is calculated on your headcount of Arizona students. Number two, continue quarterly reporting. Number three, submit your student records for state board requirements on a quarterly basis, and provide concurrent copies of all correspondence with CompTIA and the Education Department. Mr. Wallace, can I get a second?
Yes, I'll second that.
And folks at Arizona School of Integrated Studies agree to the stipulation.
Yeah, my only question is the surety bond we currently have, which was just less than 6 months. So we're double. So you're proposing we double what we have currently in place, even though we're showing improvement?
Please. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to turn over to Mr. LaMountain. He'll explain how the calculation, we'll check the calculation first, and then I'll explain it.
Let me look really quick. Let me check on the calculation.
It's because you said you were doing so well, you had so many students enrolled that automatically increases the security.
Right. It's based on 10% of your gross tuition revenue. So your gross tuition revenue that you are reporting. Mm-hmm. Let me find it. Let me click here. In your current license that we're approving is, or I'm going to have to add them all back up. You had $766,000 for Tucson. ASA is... $692,769. Sorry, it takes a moment to go through each of your schools. $285,394. All right, let me just run a number really quick and I'll get right to it. So based upon your gross tuition, so 7,692,769,743. Yeah, so that is an accurate amount because you're over $2 million in revenue. So the 10% is when you combine those four schools. So that the bond calculation is correct of $200,588. And if that is not correct, then you need to let us know what your gross tuition is on those schools, because that's off your current license that we're approving today.
That's our financials that we gave you are accurate. I just wanted to make sure we understood the calculation, but if we're entitled to do it, we'll do it.
And Dr. Medman, one more thing. In relation to the and Laura, in relation to the quarterly distribution of the student files and records, I don't believe I've seen one in quite some time. So perhaps you and I can have a conversation later this week.
We just did an upload a few months ago.
Did you send me notification of that?
I requested the we communicated about opening up the Google files. Okay. I'll find the email and I'll forward it to you.
All right, if you will. And let's just have that conversation later today so that I can get those in there and check that box.
Yeah, they all the most recent ones. I mean, we're due to do one again probably in a month or so, but all the most recent ones should be in the Google Drive. But I'll find the email.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Rachel, can you call the vote?
Did we get a second on that one?
Yeah. Well, I think we did, but if not, second it.
Thank you. And Dr. Mittman, your vote?
Aye.
And Mr. Scott Wallace?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. The ayes have it. Thanks a lot. Congratulations, President of the School of Integrated Studies.
Thank you.
Brighton College. Paul and Sean, come on down.
Sean is here. Paul is on the line.
And this is Paul. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, I will open up with a statement. Regarding our financials, we're going to continue down the same pathway with our continued focus on monitoring our expenses and paying down vendors. While 2020 has been interesting in itself, we've maintained positive financials throughout this pandemic, and it's no secret that enrollments are down during this time. However, due to our aggressive efforts at the beginning of 2020, we are not in need of as many students to maintain this continued success. These efforts have included a reduction in marketing and focusing these efforts with local and national partnerships, which have been in full force throughout the recent months. In lieu of the renewal of the state license, we just received a letter of credit confirmation for the requested amount from MidFirst. The confirmation was submitted to Kevin LaMountain at 10:21 local time today.
Okay, great. Well, it looks like you guys are showing a profit through the first half of the year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great. Mr. Wallace, any questions for either Sean or Paul? And please don't ask any questions about the change of ownership and the convoluted org chart.
I'm ready for that, Paul. We can talk about that.
We couldn't do this enough times.
Good point.
Okay. Well, actually, you know, I have to say that I was really happy to see that, you know, in this past year that DIAC vacated its show cause. That was nice. You're reaccredited for 5 more years. And that, you know, you're weathering the storm and have an increase in net revenue of about $84,000 on $500,000, a little bit more of total revenue. So nicely done. And I'm fine. I'm not sure. I believe Mr. Wallace, are you back on? There he is. Did you have any particular questions for Brian?
No, I looked at the financial statements. There's, you know, still negative equity, if I read this right, and negative working capital and a net loss. But as I understand, the representatives of this organization have indicated that that they made some cost changes and some other internal processes to compensate and restore the entity to a profitable operation. Did I understand that correctly?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So
the first increase in net revenue I've seen going back 3 or 4 years. Whoever's at the dentist, please ask the dentist to mute. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I will propose to approve the vocational program license renewal by stipulated agreement. Number one, increase the surety bond to $135,017. Number two, continue quarterly reporting. Number three, submit student records per state board requirements on a quarterly basis, and provide, number four, provide concurrently copies of all correspondence with DEAC. Do you agree to the stipulations?
Yes, we do. And the letter of credit is in the amount that you just quoted as well. So that is just a positive.
Okay, well, great. And I'm going to, my apologies to Rachel, but just in the interest of time, I will call the vote. Mr. Wallace, how do you vote?
Aye.
Paul Mittman, how do you vote?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay. Congratulations. We'll see you next quarter.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No.
Take care.
Let's galvanize this conversation. Who do we have? I see Mimi Fiorillo.
Yes. Hi, Mimi here. The campus director for Galvanize. And then I wanted to also introduce Michael Johnson from our finance team.
Great. And are you all with Galvanize, or are some of you K2? K2 is the mountain. Sorry.
K12. Yeah, myself, Michael Johnson, and Pat Neiman also on the call. We are K12 representatives, but we are involved with the day-to-day of Galvanize's operations as well.
Okay. You guys want to make an opening statement?
Sure. Thanks, everybody, for your time. One thing that I wanted to highlight from the Galvanize standpoint is that Galvanize, you all may be aware, was acquired by K12 back in January 2020. K12 is a publicly traded company and is also financially backing and supporting Galvanize's operations on a day-to-day basis. We would like to request that we remove Galvanize from the quarterly review meetings because of this. We can support profitability or any other financial secure, any other financial validation that we need to for K12 as a fully functioning company, and as any support that we need to give to Galvanize for their operations. I will point out from an operations standpoint, enrollments across the nation have doubled since the COVID outbreak. In Phoenix, for example, we're up. We're opening new campuses. We've got a new campus opening in San Jose. We've got a Dallas campus that's planned for a November opening, and we're looking at other markets such as DC and Boston. So, with the financial support and backing of K-12, we are looking to expand operations both during the COVID outbreak, but then also subsequent to that when things get back to normal.
Okay. So any questions, Mr. Wallace, on the financial statements or on the application?
Yeah, I'm looking at the consolidated income statement quarterly June 30th. So that's just 3 months. And that shows on a consolidated basis, do I read that right, about a $7.8 million loss?
You're looking just at the Galvanize standalone financials?
Yes, yeah, Galvanize consolidated income statement is what I'm looking at.
Okay. Yes, that should be correct.
That should be correct, yes.
Okay, and you attribute that to COVID or in your opening statements?
I think we've seen some lines of it.
Or that's Galvanize. I'm sorry, that's Galvanize. So you're acquired by, and that's just strictly, Galvanize includes the Arizona operations. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then K-12 is the parent organization.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Right, so just from a historical background, Mr. Wallace is relatively new to the board. galvanized was privately owned.
Right.
And operated several major cities in the United States. The loss for galvanized is actually, frankly, that's pretty par for the course. You know, I probably average, you know, about a $20 million loss per annum across the country. Usually, Phoenix actually outperformed, I can't remember all of the locations, New York, San Francisco, Denver, Austin. You know, Phoenix tended to be much closer to a break even. I don't know how long Ms. Fiorillo has been here, but we can give you the credit for that, I guess. But the loss for galvanized is pretty, that's pretty, you know, consistent with the historical picture. So I guess the question for Mr. LaMountain, you know, some of the rules that we need to follow are actually in statute. And so I'm not sure once, typically a school needs to show 2 years of audited financials that demonstrate, you know, increase in profitability before someone gets off of quarterly reporting. I would say on a personal level, I really don't care because even before K-12 came onto the scene, the folks at Galvanize, seem to have a fairly endless supply of investors. And as far as the board is concerned, our responsibility is to protect the students who are enrolled in the schools who have never been in any way adversely affected. And number two, to protect the student tuition refund fund for the state of Arizona, which can be quite costly when a school does go out of business. Neither of those two situations have I haven't been concerned with either of those two with respect to galvanized. And so the question for me is from a technical standpoint, do we have the discretion to approve a school from quarterly reporting if it has not shown 2 years of audited profitability? And I guess there may be another way to ask that is, would it suffice that the parent company has 2 years of profitability?
Okay, Dr. Mibben, I want to go over and make sure that I'm clear on the administrative code, which is Title IV, Chapter 39. You really, based upon the statute, you have the ability to remove if you feel, because you are the committee chair, you have the ability to remove the bond restriction and the financial reporting if that is what you choose. You could also keep the bond and remove them from the quarterly reporting piece. So it's really your discretion.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, do you feel strongly one way or the other? I know that you're relatively new to reviewing galvanized.
Yeah, no, I don't see a great need, for those quarterly reports, as you've indicated. So if you are inclined to waive that, if I understand that correctly, then that's fine.
Okay. Well, then I'll do like a King Solomon, and let's keep the bond and ditch the quarterly report.
Appreciate the decision. Thank you.
Sure. However, we still need to approve it. So I'm going to propose that we approve the 2020 regular vocational license renewal with the stipulation that the $230,000 bond remain in effect. Harriet, do you agree to the stipulation?
Yes.
That's a question for.
This is Chris Barnett. Yes, we do.
Mr. Wallace, can I get a second?
Yes, I second that.
And do you vote in the affirmative?
Yes, I do vote in the affirmative.
As Scott Wallace is an aye and Paul Mittman is an aye. Rachel, did we do that okay?
That was beautiful.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And thanks, Mr. O'Mountain, for clarifying the statute. You know, for the most part, our staff our staff are absolutely held to following every letter of the statute and the rules, or it's their jobs. For us on the board, you know, if we get fired, it means that we get 8 hours of prep time, back in our lives. And so I'm more inclined to be, a little bit more laissez-faire about this, but I'm glad that, we'll only see you guys once a year from now. If that, no. Okay. Thanks a lot, Galvanite.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, Southeastern University. Would you please introduce yourselves, and if you care to make an opening statement, go right ahead. And make sure you unmute yourself. Someone, I was at a meeting and someone said, the phrase of the year is you're on mute.
Okay, this is Jeff Speer. Can you hear me now? Okay, thank you. Well, it's our privilege to be before you this morning. I'm Jeff Speer, Vice President for Finance at Southeastern University, located in Lakeland, Florida. And with me is Nick Wallstedt, our Vice President for Unrestricted Education, and Mark Bittinger, who is our Senior Director for Finance and Treasury. And on the line is Lisa Murphy, who's our Compliance Director. I learned just a few minutes ago, actually maybe an hour ago, that we had neglected to send you our unaudited fiscal year 20 financial statements, and I apologize for that. Lisa has now sent them out to you, but that was a critical part of our whole process because they showed a significant turnaround for the institution for the most recent fiscal year end. And So I apologize for that, but those have been sent to you at this juncture. The institution went through a couple of years nationally where we had to reconfigure our portfolio away from the traditional higher education in Florida and toward the unrestricted education extension sites all over the country. And we have accomplished that, and that has been turned into a very good year, solid year for fiscal year 2020. I can understand and appreciate the concerns that the state would have about us based upon our performance for fiscal years 18 and 19. But we feel we are on the right trajectory here and will be able to demonstrate that with the fiscal year 20 financial statements. If I can hear them.
Okay. Yeah, in my notes that I took, I wrote in bold italics, extra large font. How did you pull this off? So I think I did have some information. We didn't have the actual financial statements, but your cash balance, which was anemic, like $348,000, went to over $7.5 million. Your receivables. Looks like you completed some construction. You had an improvement in your net assets over $3 million. And so I said, how'd you pull this off? So how did you pull this off?
Well, it was actually born of a disaster, really. In the fall of 2017. We realized that we would be short around 200 new students in our traditional operation from our budget, And we also had a retention decline. And it was a real gut check for the institution. So we began to put together a plan to revitalize and shift the resources away from the traditional operation. This last year, we let go over 30 faculty members from our traditional operation, something that institutions are often reluctant to do. But we found a number of programs that were not performing well, and we had to reduce them. We also are in the process of getting rid of a an online program manager. I won't mention their name, but we have not had the best experience with them, and someone previously had signed a 7-year contract with them, and they were taking 45% of our online revenues. That contract is now in the process of expiring, and it will free up for us around $5 million. So we have seen some benefits from shifting away from that contract already. But the primary way that we grew was that we expanded our extension sites all over the country. 2 years ago, we had less than 100. We now have 175. And these are low-cost ways for people to get a face-to-face education. And they have a strong contribution margin, as you can see from our operation there in Arizona. And we have found that that particular approach has been very beneficial for us, particularly in the world of COVID. Now, speaking of COVID, this year, our overall enrollment is down by about 300 students, from 9,800 to 9,500 students nationwide. And we think that's a win. We still are operating face-to-face in most locations with some online. So it was a combination of things of reducing costs, but primarily increasing our revenues from areas that had higher margins.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions for our folks at Southeastern?
No, I don't have any questions. I liked what I saw in the draft financial statements. Are those financial statements expected to be issued shortly?
Yes. Well, we are in the process of putting them or finishing off the audit process. But we want to be given until December to issue those statements. Actually, the Department of Education just recently extended submission times by 6 months. We're not going to go with that. That would be next August if we did that. But we want to have time to carefully look them over because there's a couple of areas that we believe have potential for increased performance based upon some questions that we currently have. Handling the accounting for the CARES Act and some issues like that. So at any rate, we expect them to be issued around the end of December for this year.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
So here's the Missoula Mountain. Here's what we need to figure out. I'm fine not going to quarterly reporting. However, I'd like to hold off on that until after we receive the audited financials. There were a lot of details in the notes to the existing or the most current audit statements that we have that look like there's a lot of resolution that should be that should come our way the next time we see the audits. So how do we do this?
Yeah, so we would just keep them on reporting. They'll come back in front of the finance committee in November. And at that point in time, you can make a determination to remove from reporting. So they'll just be back on and on. Now, if they're not going to, based on what he just said with that, it's if you're not going to get your audited until December, is that what I understand?
Correct.
So then it would be pushed into the first part of next year.
Okay. Do we have to have them back in November?
It's your choice.
And come back in January, or when is the, you know, I know that we seem to alternate months, and then sometimes December is kind of a wild
thing. Yeah, so that is your choice. If you're keeping them on reporting, it is my understanding that they should come back at the next quarterly and give an update, and then at that point in time, it could be a very brief conversation with them.
Okay. So I will propose to approve the degree granting license with the stipulation that a $19,050 security bond be posted and that you submit to quarterly reporting ending the upcoming audit.
Agreed.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, do you second that?
I second that.
That motion, not that emotion. Mr. Wallace, your vote?
Aye. Aye.
All Mittman, aye. The ayes have it. Eastern, you are approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in November.
See you in November. Bye.
Staying in the South, we'll go with Tech Talent South.
Good morning. This is Suzanne Spies. I'm the COO of Tech Talent South. Beth Kobach is not able to join us today, but Johnny Rule, our finance manager, is also on the line. Just in terms of a brief update from us, when we last spoke, we had recently transitioned all of our training for our public-facing programs to a virtual environment, just in light of the pandemic. And Mr. Wallace, just for your benefit, as I know you're newer, a lot of our, the majority of our revenue really stems from a combination of corporate training programs for predominantly Fortune 500 companies that are looking to train new hires or upskill their talent. And we also do a fair amount of workforce development training. That actually has really increased very significantly in the last couple of months. We are doing a lot of workforce development training for various municipalities in light of the CARES funding that's available to different cities and states resulting from residents who've been displaced by COVID. So that is the majority of our revenue. And then we do have a business where we work with members of the public who are interested in being trained on technical skills. And so that business is doing reasonably well in light of the pandemic. We've seen a large increase in enrollment from our Graduate Accelerator program. That program is very specifically for recent or soon-to-be college graduates, and you can imagine that many of them found themselves with a lot of free time this spring and summer when either their university programming shifted or their summer jobs shifted. And so we had a huge spike in our enrollment for those programs specifically. So the enrollment side has been solid. I think, you know, we are continuing to see a lot of growth, as I said, on the corporate training and the workforce development side. And I would say on the consumer-facing side, it's been relatively steady. There's actually been a little bit of an uptick more recently here in September, I think, as individuals are starting to feel a bit more comfortable maybe with their financial situation. In terms of our finances, we did show a slight net profit for the second quarter. And I would tell you that it would have been higher had it not been for a good amount of non-cash items related to some prior year cancellations that we were just reconciling, as well as the deferred tax component. You know, in terms of outlook, the fourth quarter is shaping up to be incredibly strong. As I mentioned, the workforce development component is work that has to be completed by December 30th to be compliant with the CARES Act. And on the enrollment side, you know, things, as I said, are continuing to kind of shift upwards there as well. And 2021 is shaping up very nicely with some of our corporate trainings that got delayed due to COVID that are starting to pick up in Q4 and Q1. So things are solid, and I'm happy to take any questions that y'all might have.
Dr. Mittman, may I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, Dan, hi. So just a quick question. We're still trying to determine your physical presence in the state of Arizona. But right now, we still show that you have a lease in one of the buildings. It's a Regent or one of the shared space areas. So I think that's still a question that we're unclear as do you really, if you don't have physical presence, you don't have any life.
No, I appreciate that. And so we have, we've always had month-to-month space agreements. That's, we are just operating in a very flexible environment that way. So we had a space agreement at the Regis and then more recently at the department, which is one of the co-working spaces in the city. That was put on pause in March in light of the pandemic and has continued to be on hold. You know, we will continue virtual for the foreseeable future. That said, I think we are open to the idea of reestablishing a physical presence when we feel that the environment is safe. We're trying to be sensitive to both our participants and our instructors. We had, you know, many instructors who had concerns around safety as things were sort of getting more challenging in March. And so we're just trying to be sensitive to that and also to the fact that the space that we have, if we were sort of adhering to 6 feet social distancing, would not fit very many individuals. So that's why we have maintained virtual for now. It's actually worked incredibly well. We've seen a huge increase actually in our net promoter score and response from participants. But we do still believe in that physical presence. And so we haven't ruled it out entirely. And that's why we haven't, you know, requested removal from this perspective, because we think that physical presence is something that may come back in early 2021.
Okay. Thank you. But you do still have a month to month, you said, Lise, at the
we terminated it in March, and we have a good relationship with them where, you know, they've said when you're ready, just let us know.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Questions? Anyone?
I have a question. This is Scott Wallace. On your balance sheet, what are future tuition installment receivables and how do they differ from accounts receivable?
Sure. So our students have the option to pay upfront or to pick a 12-month payment option. And so for an individual who is taking a program that maybe starts in September and paying over 12 months, the balance of their tuition owed goes into that future tuition receivable bucket. So it is a look at individuals who owe us money in the future who have just have started their training.
Thank you. And then when I look at your allowance for bad debts, it suggests a relatively high proportion of I don't know if it's accounts receivable or future tuition or both, is uncollectible or you perceive as uncollectible.
Yes, so we do look at it as a combination of both. That is all consumer accounts. There are no corporate accounts that are part of that. Those are all current. We have endeavored to do a big cleanup on our AR. I would tell you that historically, AR was not something that was very actively chased until mostly this year. And so that process is almost complete, but that is why we took the allowance to ensure that there was an appropriate balance there in light of knowing that we were cleaning up some of that AR.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Suzanne, when I look at when I pull up your income statement that you submitted for Tech Talent South, 6 months ending June 30th, I think it shows a loss of $161,403.
For the 6 months. Yeah, the quarter was a profit.
The
Q2. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, the most recent. And Dr. Merriman, just for your reference, most of the loss there does stem predominantly from non-cash items, just for awareness. So those are things like we file our taxes on a cash basis. So there's a deferred tax account impact. And there is also some of the prior year cancellations as we've been cleaning up the AR and the bad debt component. So that is the bulk of it. And as mentioned, predominantly non-cash.
Okay. All right. And cue the next quarter would be September 30th, correct?
Correct.
And so we have you coming back to the vote on the license renewal on October 22nd. Can we get your Q3 financial statements, in-house financial statements, in time for that meeting?
Yeah, Johnny, you feel comfortable that we can produce Q3 by the 22nd? I would say we typically close the books about the 15th, so it would be shortly before that meeting.
You said October 22nd?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we do that.
Okay. Then my proposed recommendation, although, Mr. LeMond, I don't think, are we voting on this? Because it's going back to the board, would be to maintain the $25,600 surety bond and continue this quarterly reporting to refer the conditional to regular life. The full board meeting for review and for Tech Talent South to bring their Q3 financials to that meeting. Not literally, but to submit them at least a couple of days beforehand so we can review them. So am I making a motion, and are we seconding and voting, or is this just a recommendation?
Well, it's just it's a recommendation at this point, because what you're doing is we're going to – this will move on just by itself because of where they're at with the conditional to regular license. So we can consider this I don't know that it needs a motion to move it forward, because you're just – basically, what we did is a review. This is what they need to do. So you can make a motion that they bring all of this information to the October 22nd board meeting. Can do that.
So I do have a limitless number of motions that I can make.
You can do whatever you want.
So I'll make a motion that Tech Talent South submit their Q3 financial statements in time for the October 22nd. 20 board meeting of the board. Mr. Wallace, can you second that? If you care to.
Yes, I second it.
And would you care to vote on it too?
And I vote aye or yes.
All right. Scott Wallace is yes, and Paul Mittman is a yes or an aye. There we go. We'll see you guys next month.
Thank you so much.
Thanks all.
No. All right, moving on to the second act of our performance today. These are quarterly reports, and so this is really just an opportunity for you guys to give us an update on where you're at. I do not believe we're taking any actions or motions. And so let's start with Arizona Automotive Institution. Please introduce yourselves.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you again since our last meeting, I believe, in June. So my name is Mike Cooley. I'm the executive director. You can say Mr. Craig Huke, our chief financial officer, and Ms. Shannon Manzella, who's our manager of regulatory operations with our parent company of Ancora Education, are with us as well. So, again, just wanted to welcome the opportunity to join you all again. I know there's a lot been going on in our space since the last time we talked, so I just wanted to give you first a campus update, and then obviously we can get into any additional questions, financial questions that you all might have. So from the campus here, again, we return to, just give you some updates, we return to what we're calling our new normal for the foreseeable future with a hybrid model on July 1st. So obviously, with technical programs, we've settled into what we think is a very viable and model that's been going very well since July 1st. So that model has us conducting all of our labs. Again, we do automotive, diesel, welding, and HVAC, so very hands-on education. So our hybrid model has us 2 days on campus where the students are completing their lab portion of their program, and their general education theory is being taught in a remote environment. So when we came back on July 1st, we did some rearranging on campus, if you will, to adhere to social distancing. Masks were mandatory, and we also started doing temperature checks as a requirement at that time as well. So happy to report, since July 1st, that model has been going very well for us here on campus. A couple of big projects underway for us as well. Prior to COVID, we had started the process of looking at a renovation project, what's been on the docket for us here to do tenant improvements for our facility here in Glendale. So happy to report that the renovation project, now that we're through COVID, so to speak, not really through it, but on the other side of it, hopefully, kicked off those talks, and our renovation project is looking to kick off here in Q4 of 2020. So we're excited about that. Also looking at doing a couple of new program additions that we've started the exploratory process with that. So we're looking at Q1 of 2021 to add possibly two new programs to our mix of the current four programs that we have. From an enrollment standpoint, we're excited with our trend in enrollments since April, which was our low point for enrollments due to COVID. We've seen 5 months of positive growth on the enrollment side, month over month, and we are happy to project that with our September new students that are coming in September 28th for our new class, looking to be our largest new class start of 2020. So excited about our enrollment projection, like I said, over the last 5 months. I think we're on a great trajectory there as well. A lot of focus for us since we got here in January of this year with our retention as well. So happy to report that our monthly drop rate has, from January to last month in August, has gone down 4.8 percentage points, which is a 60% decrease in our monthly drop rate. So again, a lot of efforts been put into our educational focus as well. So combination of a strong enrollments as well as a strong focus on our educational department and our retention has really put us in a good position as we head into the final quarter of 2020. So that's a quick update for the sake of time from the campus. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And like I said, Shannon and Craig are with us as well. So again, thank you for the opportunity.
You're muted.
Dr. Mittman, you're on mute.
The phrase of the year.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Yeah. I noticed that your composite score last year was 1.6, and I believe you need 2 years in a row to get your letter of credit relieved. Do you expect to finish the year in good enough shape so that you'll remain above 1.5 and you'll be able to get your, I guess it's $2 million back?
I'll take that one. This is Craig Huckey. We do expect to be above the 1.5 composite level, so definitely hopeful to have those funds released for us, yes.
Okay. And Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions?
I'm looking at your projections that say STVT-AAI education, and it shows that you anticipate to have a $2 million plus profit by the end of the year, if I read this right, in spite of having losses for the first three quarters. Can you comment on that? Or
I can, along with an apology, because this is the first time we filled that form out. That is a Q4 number rather than a cumulative number. But we do actually expect at the company level to have a positive income for the fourth quarter. We have done a lot of work both on the student side to increase the population. We believe we bottomed out at somewhere in that June, July area, and we're looking at strong fall numbers. At the same time, we have reduced overall expenses as we've gone through the COVID problem and reduced our expenses by about 15 to 17% from where they were before. So I actually feel very, very good about those numbers.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I don't have any other questions. And since this is for review only, you guys are out of here.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Staying in Arizona, but moving from automotive to heart, we welcome Paula Banahan and Sean Kerrigan. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Well, Sean is actually en route to see his dad, not feeling so well up in New York. So he's not with us today. So it's just me trying to answer all your questions. But in looking at our numbers, it's obvious that, you know, we certainly weren't where we were hoping to be. And I've got four reasons that I can really pretty much say. We did not have our 20 students in each class, which is really our number to break even. We had about 17 in each class, which that alone was about $180,000 short. The second thing is, this is a really big one. We have commissioned to have our fourth edition redone, you know, the fifth edition of our pocket reference, which is a huge income for us. I had hoped it would be a year, and it was actually a little bit over 2 years, and now it's actually printed, and I can say that we have sold over 700 in 1 month. So I think it's going to be a great revenue for us, and I'm pretty excited about that. But it was really drawn out, so that was another you know, buck and a quarter that we didn't realize for this year as well. The third thing is, we've actually had to increase and rent some space outside of the foundation. We are following all the CDC guidelines since we came back with the students and our models and our participants. And I have not allowed the classroom to be used as both classroom and lab. So we are actually renting space outside of the foundation to conduct the didactic classes, which is not fun. And lastly, we had zero board contributions this year. So I don't know, I'm not going to hang my hat on that, but that was in our budget as well. So for those reasons alone, we are not as happy as we should be. But in looking forward, our class that is starting in January, we will probably have 22 students. And then, of course, our class that just started in July, we did have 23. One had to leave due to a death of a family outside the state. One really wasn't cutting the grade, and one decided that she wanted to wait till COVID went away, which I don't know when that's going to be. So we went down to 17 pretty quickly. So we already have a waiting list for the cardiac class that will start again in July. And I know that Sean had mentioned at our last meeting that we're hoping to conduct some general ultrasound classes, and we are still in that endeavor. We do have the curriculum now completed, and we have been interviewing for the instructor. So we're real hopeful that that will be able to be combined with our vascular class, and we can, you know, probably have some additional classes for that. So that's kind of all that's going on right now. But I know that our books, we know that that brings in usually a couple hundred thousand a year, and it hasn't been updated for over 7 years. So we're hoping it's a very different book. So it's, we're hopeful.
Well, good. And how are you guys doing? I know, I just, in full disclosure, I visited, the foundation some months ago, and, you know, just the facility alone is, on the one hand, very impressive, and on the other hand, there's a lot of technical equipment there for each and every student, and so, you know, the costs of running it are significant. And I was just wondering how you guys are holding up, and I apologize to all of the people who left. I have this I have a Word document that lists all of the questions in italics. And the first question that I'm supposed to ask is, how are you? How is your school doing? And so I guess how is your school doing? We already heard. And then how are you?
Well, actually, Sean and I are pretty happy that we're at least where we are. You know, we have worked very, very hard not to have a huge hit due to COVID. Sean worked hard and got the PPP, and that was really helpful. We've delayed a little bit of our 2 months of rent, and we used our deposit to the landlord for that. We are actually looking at a larger space for less rent, because as you can see, Paul, you know, we're in a medical mecca. We're paying medical office building rent. We're already out of space if this continues the way it is, or even if we have more classes, we're going to need to have a separate classroom and a separate laboratory. One of the things that we've done, which we're pretty excited about, is as you and I have spoken in the past, you know, we turned our classroom into a sort of internal clinic. And we've been conducting, like I wanted to with our cardiovascular initiative, we've been conducting, you know, not screening so much, but full-fledged exams at no cost to the community. So when we can do what we're doing, we're actually doing a couple of things. One is we're really providing a community service. And number two, we're providing hands-on models for our students that we don't have to have them scanning models that we pay, or, you know, that we never have them scan each other. But it really is in a position now that I can license the laboratory, which will help us to have those hours for the students counted. So that's one good thing. The second good thing is we're about halfway through of our programmatic accreditation, which will mean a lot to us because we're institutionally accredited. Now we need to have our programs be programmatically accredited, and then we won't be so dependent on having to have clinical sites. And that's really our goal. So we've been steadily working towards, you know, our 3 to 5 year plan, and it's coming to fruition, which we're really, really happy about.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, and sorry to this is the more conversational part, and we'll have more, you know, some of the other schools as well. Without being too revealing, I did get an ultrasound a few years ago. My wife was like, you better go get an ultrasound. And I went to an ultrasound school, and there was, you know, a licensed ultrasound tech. I believe it was a radiologist who read the report. Mm-hmm. The licensed ultrasonographer performed the exam. She said I had very good organs. It was abdominal.
Excellent.
And it was a great experience for me, and it was very inexpensive.
Right.
As a patient, it was inexpensive for me, but it was revenue for them. And I was wondering, are you planning to move in that direction and actually use the lab once you get licensed for generating revenue like that?
You know, what part of our strategy, at least one of the things that I've always wanted to do, is to be a community asset as well as a school. And if we can conduct some educational programs and offer, you know, free cardiac ultrasounds or free vascular ultrasounds, or not free, but at no cost to the community, I think that's really what the foundation should be doing. And if we can maintain that 20 students in each class will really keep us flush, then anything beyond that is just wonderful, so that we don't have to charge for those. Because there's a lot of folks that don't have insurance. What's that?
It was cash. I was happy to pay. anyway.
Well, you know what? It's probably less expensive to pay cash than to go through your insurance, which you probably know.
It was.
Oh yeah.
So, anyway, obviously, yeah. you guys.
But we'll catch up.
Work on that. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Scott. Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Well, best wishes to you, Scott, and the Sean and the team, and be well and be safe.
Thank you. You too. You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Carrington College, sticking with healthcare.
Yes, hello. This is Robert Hendrickson. I'm Vice President of Compliance and Regulatory Affairs for Ember Education, which is the Shared Services Division of San Joaquin Valley College, Inc., which is the ownership group for
Carrington College.
Okay.
So Carrington and its parent company, SJVC, have stable footing during the first three quarters of 2020. We've managed this through the use of our online teaching platforms to migrate programs into a virtual environment, which has allowed us to continue keeping students in an active status rather than putting on LOA or incomplete, as well as then returning for essential labs, both in a simulation environment as well as clinical task-oriented. And then also to manage this, the company went through a significant reduction in force at the corporate and college support staff levels to reduce our overall expenses, which are primarily related to salary and workforce as a way of managing our overall bottom line.
Okay, that was succinct. Thank you. Just a quick question, since the students that I know who've been through Carrington, and it's interesting because, again, not to make this personal, our son is a physician and they have a bunch of MAs in their practice who started out as interns from Carrington and have persisted as employees, and they love the work that you guys do. I'm just wondering, have you been able to maintain the clinical training component and the internships that are, you know, such a significant part of many of the health career programs that you offer?
We have lost some. So we have maintained a majority of those sites. We have been able to utilize simulation equipment. So with the Institutional CARES Act funds, we've gone out and bought quite a few mannequins for our nursing program, for our respiratory care program, less so for MA, but we have been relying more so on simulation to make up for some of those clinical hours.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, do you have questions?
No, I don't have any questions. I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, me too. That I assume that you're out in California. San Joaquin has, every report that we've had at this board, you know, shows a really strong and stable institution. So keep up the good work. We'll see you next time.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Fletcher Pilates. So we're sticking with health and wellness and well-being. Ms. Mendoza, nice to see you again.
Hi.
Do you have any updates that you care to share with the board, such as it is, the two of us?
Sure.
Before you start, I really did write this. My first question is, how is Fletcher Pilates and how are you doing?
We are hanging in there. It's this second quarter for us is which we're reporting on right now is generally our kind of our low point in our year from financial income perspective. And that has definitely been pretty hard this year given the COVID situation. So we are, as I kind of mentioned to you during the last one, we're pretty happy with how we have utilized this time to do some retooling. So we're very hopeful for the future moving forward. And so we are actually really shifted over most of our continuing education aspect of things, which is really taken a hit with the COVID situation. We've spent the last several months retooling that into an online format, and that's actually opening up and going kind of becoming available October 1st for us. So we are really looking forward to kind of seeing how that's going to play out with us and hopefully kind of bring us back up to the end of the year. So we're extremely hopeful for what things will look like by end of the year. in terms of our enrollment, we're happy that our programs that we're running we've been able to make those continue forward, and all of those students that are in the programs that began prior to COVID, we've been able to get them through. So we've had no kind of issues with having to do any refunds because we've been able to keep those students engaged and enrolled, and they are looking to track to complete their programs. So that's been great for us that we've been able to manage that. It's been a challenge figuring out how to teach Pilates in an online format, and it's now that studios are starting to open again in the last last month or so, all of those practical hours and lab components basically that are part of the program, students are being able to kind of catch up on some of those hours. Looks a little different than it used to, but we're able to make it happen. So pleased with that. And like I said, really looking forward to where things will hopefully end up by the end of the year. We do have a program that's beginning this fall where the enrollment is definitely lower than we had anticipated, obviously, at the beginning of this year, just due to the COVID situation. However, things are looking really positive for our programs that are beginning at the beginning of next year in terms of the recruitment and people that have been reaching out in regards to that program. And we already have students that are set to enroll in the programs that begin beginning of 2021. So, like I said, it's not been an easy couple of months for sure. but things are looking hopeful, and we're pretty happy with where things are at currently, and how we've been able to kind of manage that. So hanging in there. we only have a small collection of students. It's not like we have massive numbers that we're dealing with. So spending a lot of time just really engaging with those people, even individually, and making sure that they're supported and taken care of has been our main goal over these few months as well.
Great. And it looks like, I have 3 points and I'll turn it over to Mr. Wallace. It looks like your cash position is okay. It's about $90,000. You'd spent down about $20,000 through this year. Are you kind of en route to getting your PPP loan converted over to a grant as your bank opened up and you're able to submit?
Yes. That? Yes.
Okay. That'll help. And then you mentioned, creating more online programs and content. Is that the $28,000 for photography and videography?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not sure whether it makes a big difference. It'll make a big difference for us looking at your financial statements, I believe, and you should probably talk to an actual accountant, although Mr. Wallace is an actual CPA accountant. But correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, I believe that for Deborah to invest in a new program, such as an online program, developing content for the program, such as the videography, can be treated as an asset and be expensed over 3 years once you launch the program. So if you're going to start in October, so that $28,000, it's not a huge difference, but you could probably spread it out over 3 years because that's something that you will own. Right.
Okay.
The content that was developed through videography. You can't do that with any marketing for the program, but you can do it for something that goes into developing the program, which would be treated as an asset. And so it'll come off your income statement. It'll go on your balance sheet. It'll be a liability and you're going to expense it over, I believe it's 3 years. So so this year, instead of being $28,000 as an expense, it'll be whatever, $9,000 or something like that. Did I get that right, Mr. Wallace?
Well, you're substantially correct.
I'll take that as a
There's no three-year rule, but you would you could be able to capitalize your development of those costs as long as you continually review and determine that you're going to generate revenue because of those costs. If for some reason during the development phase you don't think that's going to work, then you would have to abandon and expense all those costs. I have one question. I'm looking at your balance sheet as of June 2020, and customer deposits have increased certainly over March. You know, they've increased maybe by $15,000, and which might suggest or does suggest that you're attracting people to put deposits down on future courses. I'd like you to comment on that, and then the biggest element is the Korean program. So I don't know what that means, and maybe you can enlighten me.
Sure. Yeah. So in terms of, we do have other programs that run basically outside of Arizona that utilize, mostly they utilize our curriculum. So we offer them support and the curriculum that we've created. And we work with basically a host studio and teacher at that location that basically utilizes our curriculum. And they share share revenue. And this happens various different locations. So that's that program that you were referring to. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, well, let's just talk about the Korean program because it's the biggest item on there. And did you receive $86,900 from some organization and then you have to deliver programs in the future? Did I understand that correctly?
I suppose that's a way. Yes, I guess it would be the short answer to that question. And that information has occurred within this last quarter, or that transaction has occurred within this quarter that we're currently about to complete.
So when you say transaction, you're delivering programs to that particular entity.
We're delivering support for the program as it's run there with our curriculum.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
One last question, Deborah.
Yes.
Your processing and payment fees are $9,900 on $102,000 of revenue. That seems high. I'm not sure. It's almost.
Can you tell me where you're looking at this?
I'm just looking at the notes that I have. So somewhere on your income statement, right? Your profit. Law statement. In your expenses, you have a line item payment/processing fees, $9,907. And I believe that that's $9,900 on $102,000 of revenue, right? So you took in $102,000 and your payment and processing fees are $9,900. I'm not sure, A, if I got that correct. B, I think that's high. I think you're paying a lot of money there. I could be wrong. But if I'm right, number one, that the 99 is on 100 and whatever $1,000, it's roughly 10%. And I think, you know, to pay more than like 3 or 4%, like for credit card processing or PayPal or something like that, or maybe it's a little bit more, but I think 9 is really high. And so, you know, you may be able to save, you know, a few thousand dollars by looking, you know, and looking at different credit card processing or whatever else.
Yes, I'm seeing that, which you're seeing, and to be honest, I don't know details of that, but I agree with you. Something to definitely look into a little bit more.
Okay. I mean, I just think that there's like, you know, there's sort of chunks of money, because we've had similar conversations over the last couple of years. You may just want to, you know, I don't know either who does your books or if you have a CPA, but somebody to go through and to really see, you know, because I think you're the sole, it is a franchise, right? Because Fletcher Pilates is a national group.
We are Fletcher Pilates here.
Oh, okay. But anyway, you know, $5,000 here, $5,000 there, it kind of adds up, and it's, you know, it would be nice to grab some of that back.
Agreed. We actually just had a changeover of our bookkeeper. Our former bookkeeper now has to be at home due to kid issues with the COVID situation. So we've just brought in a new bookkeeper who is actually really starting to bring some of these things to our attention as well, and really go through and do an audit of those types of things. So we're actually currently in that process right now.
Okay, good. And I would just, I would urge you, and sorry to be like, you know, I don't mean to be preachy about this, but, you know, I like your school. And Mr. Wallace is an accountant. He's a real accountant, a CPA. I'm not. And you'd be surprised. I'll say this quietly so I don't get on Scott's bad side. It's not rocket science. And so I would urge you to become as knowledgeable about this. I think that it would serve you, you know, your own personal finances and the school's finances, you know, to just really, you know, get good at this stuff. Cause, you know, obviously, you know, you're good at a lot of things, and why not this also? You don't need a CPA. It's nice to have one nearby. you know, so I would recommend that you do that. All right, I'm done with my preaching. All right, have a good rest of the fall, and we'll see you next time.
Great, thank you.
Okay, and now for the moment we've been waiting for all morning. We have Images Enterprises. Who do we have from Images? Maybe muted, or maybe you're just not there.
Jackie or Mike?
They're not there right now. We're kind of running late. Let's skip over them. We'll come back to them. All right. Southwest University of Visual Arts.
Hello. This is Stuart Gibson, representing the Board of Directors for the Southwest University of Visual Arts, and I'm here with Camden Hardy, our interim school president, and unfortunately our accountant Cynthia Beving had an unexpected schedule change, and she actually had to sign off early.
So does that mean that you have nobody has anything to say because Cynthia's not here?
I have some updates on our audit.
Go ahead.
Our audit is still in progress with Regier Carter Monroe, which is why our bad debt is still showing on our quarterly report. last week, the board voted to take advantage of the Office of Management and Budget COVID-19 flexibility so that we can extend our audit deadline to December 1, 2020. In part, we are doing that because we're still working through the myriad issues since the Woods left, and in part, the main auditor we were working with quit abruptly from RCM and didn't make arrangements. So we had a lot of sort of speed bumps trying to transition to a new auditor.
Quit your project or quit the company?
Quit the company.
Okay, that's two different things, but yeah, go ahead.
That's my general opening statement. Camden and I are not accountants, but we're here to do any question answering that we can.
Okay. Well, I guess the first question is, how are you guys doing? I know that the transition was, was pretty challenging, and it's always the people who are sort of left to clean up the mess, end up with a lot of work. And then, on top of that, you've got a pandemic, we've got social injustice and issues to deal with. I'm just wondering, how are you guys doing?
Candy, do you want to jump in here?
Sure, yeah. So, you know the challenges we've faced, in terms of sort of picking up the pieces from the last regime. But, we've been working really diligently to clean house, and we're getting our processes in order. We experienced the dip in enrollment that everyone else is seeing, but we are optimistic about the future. We're in a brand new space, and our students are super positive. As you see with my mask, we have some really strict COVID safety guidelines in place, and everyone's really responding well to it. So, we're coming out of a dip, but we're optimistic that we'll get there.
Okay. Has your fall enrollment, does it look, and I know that you're not the business people, but does your fall enrollment look close enough to what you need to keep everything moving forward?
Yeah, our fall enrollment is not where we want it to be, obviously, but we are skating by this semester. We've gotten a lot better with our admissions processes, and we have some really great admissions people now. So we're selecting better applicants, which is, we're optimistic, is going to have a huge impact on our student retention moving forward.
Okay. Good. Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions?
What I don't see on your balance sheet is any form of deferred revenue. Now, this is as of June, and maybe you're not operating much during the summer, but do you take revenue in advance of delivering programs?
So this is where I say I'm not an accountant, so I can't answer this question very comprehensively, but what I can say is that our tuition collection, our revenue is entirely tuition driven right now. So, we get our revenue based on financial aid and private payments as it becomes available.
Yeah. So I think to respond to your question, Mr. Wallace, they will get a drawdown from the Department of Ed for federal financial aid every either semester or quarter, whatever system they're on or calendar they're on. And so they're going to have a current liability throughout the whatever that semester or quarter is for that money. I understand whether these guys are probably not that familiar with it. If it's all right with you guys, why don't we, we're going to see you back in November anyway, right, Mr. LaMountain?
It's actually December.
Okay.
December 10th.
And you're going to have your audit December 1st? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. Could you just talk to Cynthia and the rest of your trustees, Mr. Gibson? We need to have the audit for the December meeting, all right? And so, just because there were a lot of questions that came up in the previous board meetings and in the finance committee meetings around some of the, rather large receivables, questions about uncollectible debt, et cetera, which looks like it's actually gone up compared to going down. And so, please make sure that you show up in December with the audit in hand, or actually in Mr. LaMountain's hand.
Understood. We will.
And Dr. Mittman, just as a side note, the institution is going through a change of control at this time, so there is the potential. Camden and Stewart, if I get the documents that we need for that change of control. They would be again on in the October full board meeting as well.
We can do that.
You'll get those documents this week.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Take care. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
All right. Webster University. Who do we have? Can't hear you. You don't look muted, but I can't hear you. Maggie?
Maggie, we see that you're on, but we can't hear you.
It's calling in again. Webster University, based in Missouri, operates a campus at Luke Air Force Base. They're here in front of the Finance Committee because Webster has shown an operating loss for the last 2 years. However, the campus at Luke Air Force Base not only delivers outstanding education, but has shown an increase in net assets each of the last several years.
Can you hear me now?
Maggie and Teresa. Maggie Lara and Teresa Barnes. Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Excellent. Sorry about that. This happened last quarter, too. I don't know why it won't let me call through the phone. Technology gets me down sometimes. Sorry. Teresa is out of the office today, so I'm sorry she is not able to join us.
Okay.
Just to let you all know, highlights from the coronavirus. We have resumed operations at a number of our campuses. As you are aware, we have campuses all throughout the United States and through the world. We are not on all of our campuses. We're still closed out from our military campuses, which would be our campus there in Arizona, Luke Air Force Base. We have also been doing classes online, as we have for the past 25 years. We also introduced a hybrid format of classes, which is some students in person, sometimes the classes are remote, sometimes they're synchronous, sometimes they're asynchronous. We're trying to be as flexible as we can to help our students be safe and faculty, staff as well, and also still be able to teach them the core curriculum that they need for their programs. Our fiscal 20 operating results were improved over fiscal 19. We did still have an operating loss of $9 million, which was improvement over $14.4 million the prior year. We reduced our operating expenses $10.3 million in order to help align with our enrollment decline. For this current fiscal year, we had been having quite a bit of momentum before coronavirus with our enrollments efforts. We had partnered with Ruffalo Noah Levitz to help us with enrollment about a year and a half ago. So we have been impacted by the coronavirus, obviously, but maybe not to the extent that our enrollments have been declining in the previous years. We are looking to have some exciting new pricing in the next year or so. We'll be doing some new pricing for the military partners starting in January, and then some other stuff that I can't quite disclose. For our next fiscal year, we're hoping that the pricing changes will also help with our enrollments and with students who are looking for a little bit more flexibility on their educational alternatives in the current pandemic.
Great, thank you. You do show revenues for the Arizona campus. So is that all students who are enrolled receiving online education?
So what we have is what we reported was for fiscal 20, and just our fiscal year ends in May. So we did still have students enrolled in person at the campus through March 20th, I think is when we closed operations down to move to remote operations for our fiscal 20. So it actually is a blend for fiscal 20. It's mostly in person, but some online. And we do still have some revenues again this year, and those are all online. So the way we earn revenue for our operations is if my student is associated with this campus, they take an online class, the campus there also receives revenue for the online class.
Okay. And if I'm correct, I'm looking at $542,000 of revenue for the Arizona campus with a net revenue of $322,000.
I have revenue for the budget. Wait, say that again.
Oh, I think it was $522,000 of revenue and about 300 and 542 revenue, 322 increase in net assets.
That's not what we had for our last submitted report, I don't believe. For the campus. Are you looking for fiscal 20 or fiscal 21?
I guess whatever budget was the most current, which is, it's fine. I usually don't go this long without being incorrect in the course of a day. So
fiscal 20, our final revenues for the Luke Air Force Base were $480,000.
Uh-huh. And your net revenue?
For total tuition revenues, yes, net revenues.
Okay. All right. And then for 21, what do you have?
For 21, our budget was going to be $592,000. I can tell you we will not reach that because we do, without being on the campus, our enrollments are down. We're reaching students who want to see us through online classes, but we are not physically there. And so it does impact our tuition for that campus.
Okay. Well, just for Mr. Wallace's benefit, since I've been monopolizing the conversation, Webster's been around since the 30s or 40s, I think.
1918?
Not even close. So now that I'm making mistakes, one is following right on the heels of another. So the school's been around for a long time, has a fairly substantial endowment, and has always been in good standing with its accrediting bodies, and the campus here at Luke Air Force Base has been profitable, or has shown an increase in net assets as a not-for-profit, even during the downtimes for the mothership. Scott, do you have any questions for Maggie?
No, I don't have any questions. I like the presentation and the information provided, so I have nothing further.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Lauer, thanks.
Have a good day. Bye.
Let's do Webster, and then we're going to come back and we'll finish up. We'll save the best for last. We'll finish up with Wizard next. Sorry. Bye, Ms. Lauer.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, good. Hang on one second. How do you... Okay, how about now?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Yeah, sorry. I was just trying to get this phone to work. My name is Carl Lind. I'm with Wizard Medical Education.
Yes. Anything you want to tell us other than that?
Sure. I'm trying to get to someplace that I can talk. I'm sorry. So we sent our second quarterly report since then, since the end of June. What's happened, a few different things is we were, we got our PPP in the second quarter, so that was already there. We've also received a grant from the city of Peoria for $20,000 that went towards some of our teleconference equipment and software and that type of stuff and rent. So we got some help from there. But the major thing was that as of yesterday, we were finally able to start our paramedic program that's been on hold since May because of COVID. So we just got that fired up yesterday. We got four sites around the state that we're doing via, you know, live teleconference and in-person type stuff at the four different sites. So the revenue is coming in from that, and that should put us in pretty good shape as far as the finances go for the end of this year.
And if I'm not mistaken, you're, as of quarter two, you show $116,000 of net income on total revenues of $372,000, correct?
Yeah.
Someone doesn't like that.
Okay, could you repeat your question? I'm sorry.
I was just saying, it looked like you were profitable to the tune of about $116,000 halfway through the year.
Correct, yes. And even with the expenses that we've had, you know, the last couple months with the grants and the new paramedic tuition, paramedic class tuition, then we should be at least that as far as profit goes for the end of the year.
Good. Well, good job.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yes, I think I noticed, I'm going to pull it up here, but I think I noticed in your, I think it's your audited financial statements that you recognize revenue upon registration. And specifically, consistent student fees, which are recognized when students register for classes. And again, I don't know exactly how you operate and so forth. And this is the year ended December 31st, 2009. And it's entirely possible that you had collected nothing with regard to 2020 programs and so forth. But that's unusual, but it may be unique to yours. Do you collect?
I think I lost you. You said something about 2009.
No, 2000 and in 2019, you have no deferred revenues. Your revenue recognition policy says when people register, that's when you recognize the revenue. So if somebody registered in December, the way I interpreted your financial statements is that they would recognize revenue in December, even though the class may not be provided until January or thereafter. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, that's we recognize the revenue. So if we get paid for a class, it doesn't matter what class it is, whether, you know, whether it's a paramedic class that involves thousands of dollars or whether it's a $100 class. If we receive the payments in December or whenever we receive it, then we recognize it.
Okay.
Is that your question?
Yeah, that's my question, because I'm looking at your financial statements, which are audited, and I don't think that's proper revenue recognition. So I'm encouraging you to revisit with your CPA on that, because generally speaking, you're not entitled to recognize revenue until you deliver the class.
Okay, I understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
I understand, and I can get with her on that right away.
Yeah, my concern is that any one point in time, if you had, for lack of better definition, a good sales effort and registered a bunch of students in any one particular month, you're still obligated to deliver programs, educational programs, probably in subsequent months. And the revenue and the delivery of the program should be in the same period.
Okay, understand.
Okay.
Yes.
And I don't have any other questions or comments. That it for you, Mr. Wallace, too?
No, I don't have any other comments, any additional questions or comments.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much, Carl.
Okay. Thank you, sirs.
Have a good good fall, and congratulations on getting the paramedic class up and running.
Yeah, it was it's a good feeling, let me tell you. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, drum roll, please. We have Images Enterprises, and representing the institution, who do we have? Jackie, you're
muted. Jackie Fisher.
Hey, all right. Well, it's Jackie Fisher. Jackie, just to say, I have to say, it is such a delight to have you here and to see how well you guys are doing. I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else that you want to say?
No, we're just trucking along. Our sales are off the wall. I'm teaching 6 days a week. I travel from on Sunday. I have my day off. I travel from Phoenix to Tucson on Sunday. But we're trucking along. So
be careful what you be careful what you ask for, I guess.
Oh, I know. Trust, and I just got a traffic ticket mailed to me, so I'm like, eesh.
Well, it looks like you get, Kevin, is there a name for this award that that the board is bestowing on Ms. Fisher?
Yes, I'm confident that this is the Jackie Fisher Images Enterprises Outstanding Performance Award for 2020.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I don't really have any questions. I just want to say, you know, well done. Looks like you're, you know, doing well, and you know, just don't run yourself ragged in the course of it.
Yeah, we're not going to. We need to hire some more people, but we're not going to do that until we come out of the water completely. Now, so I'm just gonna, you know, sometimes you just have to go back and dig your feet in the dirt and get your hands dirty. That's what we're doing.
Mr. Wallace, do you have any questions for Ms. Fisher?
No, I don't. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice job, Jackie. Sorry to keep you to the end, but we couldn't do the award if we still had all the other students. They'd all be envious of you.
Thank you. And thank you, Keith, for calling me.
Okay.
You can thank Kevin because he texted me to text you to call you to call Kevin. It all worked out.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Having fulfilled our agenda, this brings the meeting of the Arizona State Board of Private Postsecondary Education Finance Committee to a close. I hereby motion to adjourn this meeting.
I second that.
Okay. And so, Kevin, we're free to go for minutes and minutes. Is that right?
Free to go until 2 o'clock today.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Want me to stay on?